on to this week's assist, sponsored as ever by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I've been joined again this week by Dan Childs and Tom McGarry to look ahead to the weekend's domestic action. It is, of course, the final week of the Premier League season, and there are also three EFL playoff finals to look forward to as well. So a lot to get through, but we've also got a lot to reflect on. And Dan, we can't start anywhere else but with you for the Europa League final, of course, that we saw on Wednesday evening. Massive boost for Tottenham and a huge night overall for Spurs as a club.
Absolutely huge. I mean, you know, the season, as we know in the league, has been an absolute disaster. For a long time, the eggs have been in the Europa League basket. And to get to the final and then not have your two main creative attacking players, Kulusevski and Maddison, I've got to say, I didn't really fancy Spurs going into the match, but they kind of won the game in the only way they could do, really, with you know, turning it into an ugly affair and nicking it, if you like, and defending for their lives, really, throughout that second half. But no, it'll be huge for the club, as we can, you know, there's a lot of, both United and Spurs have got a lot of areas they need to rebuild. That's obvious. I don't think they're as bad as the league position should suggest. I think that a lot of that is factored in by both teams, really, you know, not focusing on the Premier League and focusing on the Europa. But there's clearly areas that need improving for both clubs, and Spurs getting in the Champions League with the money and the prestige that comes with it is going to help them with their summer rebuild more than, you know, United are going to have a tougher time, I think, with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, in contrast, Tom, it's a massive setback for Manchester United. We've heard all, probably more about what's going on off the pitch in terms of finances at Old Trafford this season than we have about what's going on it. And this will be a major setback for them.
It will. I mean, Manchester United can still attract good players because it's Manchester United and the prestige that comes with that. But not being in the Champions League, not being in Europe of any kind, and the way they've performed domestically this season, you are, if you're a player, you're going to have a pause for thought, aren't you? And think, am I going to go there? Mm. Where is this club going? How long is it going to take them to get back to the level we expect them to be? And maybe if you've got a choice between Manchester United or, say, Tottenham now, or even, you know, an Aston Villa, a Newcastle, a Nottingham Forest, perhaps, maybe you would think, maybe I'll go there and I can play Champions League or some kind of European football. Whereas at Old Trafford, you've got none of that, and you've got all the baggage and the pressure and the scrutiny that comes with being a club of United size.
Just a quick word, Dan, finally, in terms of the Europa League, on both managers. Firstly, Ange, staying or going, do we think?
I think he'll stay now. I always thought it would be dependent on whether Spurs won the trophy. I know there's been a lot of reports saying that Spurs would look to make a change come what may. Mm. But I just think, I mean, you know, Daniel Levy's relationship with the Spurs fans still isn't great. I mean, and it's not going to be improved if he sacks Postecoglou off the back of, winning the first major trophy in 17 years. So, you know, whether it's the sensible and the right decision, I wouldn't like to say, but I do think he'll probably keep his job.
In terms of Amorim, are you in the camp? A lot of sort of former Manchester United players seem to be in, where they're saying, well, actually, you're going to have to give him another season.
Yeah, I think that he certainly needs a transfer window at the very least, you know, to mould the squad to his liking. I mean, he's come in, he didn't really want to come in, did he, in the middle of the season, but United wanted him to come at that point. And he hasn't got the players to play the style of football that he wants to play. He's kind of shoehorning them into to his preferred formation at the moment. And look, there's so much, opinions can just change on slight details, can't they? You know, Van de Ven doesn't make that astonishing clearance off the line. United equalise, and the way that the momentum of the game was going, they probably going to win, and we're having a totally different conversation. But certainly, yeah, I think he should keep his job for next season.
We've got to also talk as well about the last final, which came, of course, last weekend of the domestic season, as Crystal Palace, of course, pulled off another upset, another 1-0 victory, Tom. But overall, you know, you could point to certain instances through the game. Maybe Dean Henderson should have been sent off. Of course, City missed a penalty. But, you know, the vast majority of the neutrals would have been highly delighted with Crystal Palace winning the trophy for the first time.
I certainly was. I love change. It's been a really good season, hasn't it, for that, with Newcastle winning the EFL Cup, Palace the FA Cup, and now Spurs, picking up the Europa League. But yeah, Palace game plan worked superbly. Oliver Glasner, he's tried to fight fire with fire previously when he's come up against Pep Guardiola. We saw that last month in the league where they were beaten 5-2, but did lead 2-0 in that game. And he was more pragmatic in this match. We know he's got the attacking quality and pace on the counter-attack to hurt the very best teams. And that's what proved to be the case. It was a brilliant goal that ended up winning the contest from Eberechi Eze. And then, obviously, Dean Henderson had a big role to play. Maybe a red card, maybe he wasn't. It certainly looked like he was out of the box when he handled it. But then he goes on to save the penalty, produces some more good saves in the match. And yeah, I was really pleased for Crystal Palace. It's tongue-in-cheek saying, I'm happy that Palace won. But it is nice to see change, isn't it, at the top of different teams picking up silverware.
And Dan, you know, we all sort of mentioned on last week's assist that they had a great chance. You know, they've got a really, really good base of players there, Crystal Palace, and they've now got to try and kick on from here.
Yeah, and players that can really hurt you in, you know, in attack, which is, you know, what proved to be the difference. And one that I didn't really mention was Munoz, who was, you know, excellent, yeah, you know, bombing forward from the right, and obviously played a key role in the counter attack that got the goal. And don't forget, without VAR, they would have even had the second goal as well. Wouldn't have been ruled out. I think the game plan worked perfectly for them. Just sitting tight, hitting on a counter attack, and saw the job through. And I think for Palace for next season, got European football. That's going to help them keep these players that we're talking about, the real game changers, the likes of Mateta, Sarr, Eze, Wharton, who are going to be, you know, Gerhi, another one that's going to be, you know, high on the shopping list of rival clubs. But it certainly strengthens Palace's hand there in the negotiations.
Certainly does. Big congratulations then to Tottenham and to Crystal Palace for their cup success. We're going to turn our attentions then to the league now as we look forward to the final weekend of the Premier League season. All the games kicking off, of course, at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And our big match this week takes place at the City Ground, with two teams still battling it out to try and qualify for next season's Champions League, as Nottingham Forest take on Chelsea. Forest 2-1 to claim the victory in this game. It's 6-5 Chelsea, and the draw is 11-4. Just one point separating the two sides in the battle for Europe at the moment, Tom. How do you see this one? Because, you know, Forest, they showed a bit of guts last week to get that win against West Ham when everybody thought maybe the chance was gone.
Yeah, it's great character, isn't it, from Forest? It looked like things were starting to peter out. And then particularly because both Chelsea and Aston Villa won on the Friday night in their game. So Forest knew they had to win to stay in touch and give themselves a chance heading into this final day. So great character shown by Nuno Espirito Santo and his team. And it sets up this is, by far and away, the biggest match on the final day of the season, really, isn't it? It's a straight shootout with a caveat that even if Nottingham Forest win, that potentially might not be enough to get them into the top five. Chelsea, a point might do for them, but they probably need to go for the victory just in case other results go against them. So it's really intriguing. I think this could be quite cagey, though. I mean, like we saw in the Europa League final last night, it's the magnitude of what's at stake. Both sides don't want to show their hand too early in the contest. And it has to be said, neither have been fantastic in front of goal of late either.
No, I mean, Tom's alluded to it there, Dan, about the caginess of it. Three of the last five meetings between the sides have been draws. We did get a five-goal thriller when they met in this fixture last season when Chelsea won by 3-2. But you can't imagine that it's going to be that wide open.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think that they're both teams that, under normal circumstances, I wouldn't expect it to be high scoring. But what you have got to remember is they both need to win. You know, Forest have got to win to make sure a minimum Europa League and a good chance still, if results go their way, of Champions League. And Chelsea are going to have to go into it thinking we need to win. If they don't win, they're going to have a lot go their way, you know, to get in the to finish in the top five. So, I mean, you'd imagine people would be listening to, you know, what's going on, results from other grounds. But, you know, it's not going to be like the Europa League final where both teams think, well, if it goes to extra time, penalties, you know, we've got, you know, there's something for us here. There needs to be a result here for both sides. So I think at some point you'll see them both going for it.
Tom, Forest's home record, having been so good earlier in the season, it's been like a fortress, the City Ground. They've now not won any of the last four at home. Is that going to have an impact?
Potentially, yeah. I do tend to agree with Dan that obviously both teams realistically have to win the game. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking that they'll probably wait till 70, 75 minutes before you know going for the jugular and trying to attack. I think it will be cagey up until then. As you mentioned, Forest struggling a little bit at home of late. They've only scored four goals in the last six Premier League home games. And you couple that with Chelsea failing to score in three of their last four Premier League away matches. It kind of, to me, looks like it may well be cagey. Chelsea struggled for goals, haven't they, throughout the second half of the season. It's dried up in terms of goals and assists for Cole Palmer. Nicholas Jackson, of course, is not available for this game either. And yeah, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a shootout into the last 15, 20 minutes. Of course, with the caveat, as we mentioned, that this game will be influenced by what's happening in the matches involving certainly Newcastle and Aston Villa.
Yeah, before we get best bets, Dan, just a quick word on Chelsea at the moment, because, you know, you look at the recent form in terms of results and you look at it and think, well, actually, do you know what? They've hit form at the right time, but the results and the form don't necessarily match up.
No, and it depends what form you're looking at as well. I looked at their away form, and the last 10 away games in the Premier League, they've got 6 points, you know, and only one win. So that is, to me, that would be majorly concerning when you're going into a game that I've just said is probably a must win for them, you know, to get in the top five. You know, lost, didn't they, at Newcastle in a massive game as well last weekend. So, yeah, I mean, you've got to remember, Chelsea were being talked up and certainly were in the title race, weren't they, going into the Christmas period. And there has been, you know, quite a drop off in the second half of the season.
OK, Tom, we'll start with you first. What's your suggested bet for the big match this weekend?
Yeah, I've alluded to it and it won't be a great surprise, but I'm looking at under 2.5 goals, which is odds against. And I think that represents really good value. Two sides, Forest not scoring many at home, Chelsea not scoring many away. And I think I'd almost suggest if you got to 65, 70 minutes and offer both managers 0-0 and you just go from there and fight it out for the final 20 minutes, I think they both might take that. But so I'm not expecting it to be a classic open contest in that regard, but it should be set up for a very intriguing finish.
Be interesting one way or another, Dan, how this result goes, whether Mr. Marinakis makes an appearance on the pitch at the end of the game. He should be applauding Nuno for what's been a fantastic season for Forest.
Yeah, they've done unbelievably well. And I actually, normally in these big games, you don't get, you know, much value, I think, in the prices. Mm. I'm actually looking at it here. I think Forest are quite a bit overpriced to win this one. You're looking over 37 games. You mentioned it yourself, Warren. They're only 1 point below Chelsea. They've got home advantage, which in a massive occasion like this has got to be counting, I think, for more than is showing on the book. And you look at their home form against some of the big teams. They've beaten Villa at home. They've beaten Man City at home. Drawn with Liverpool. Drawn with Arsenal. They've done well against the big teams. I mentioned Chelsea's away form that's been, you know, pretty awful for some time. And I just think we talked about that game at West Ham. I watched that. I was really impressed, actually, with Forest, having kind of looked like they kind of bottled it the previous week when they drew with Leicester. To go to West Ham under that pressure, deservedly go two up. And then what really impressed me was when Bowen scored like a worldie to get West Ham into it. And the crowd got up, West Ham players started putting it in, and there was lots of time added on. The way that Forest managed that game, kept calm under pressure, keeping the ball. I mean, watching Spurs last night, and it was panic stations, really, you know, to try and hang on. And Forest dealt with a huge high-pressure situation really, really well. And I think there's a case of them. They've been the hunted, haven't they? They've been in those higher positions early in the season. Now they're the hunter. And I think they're coping with that psychologically better. And I just think for this one-off game at home, you know, those are 2-1, to win a one-off game at home that they need to win, I would take that. I think that's a good bet.
Yep. Just a reminder, of course, that all of the games kick off at the same time, but the big match of the Sunday final day is Nottingham Forest against Chelsea at the City Ground. We're going to look at the rest of the Premier League fixtures now, and we'll go through in alphabetical order. So we'll start off at the Vitality Stadium, where Bournemouth take on already yet relegated Leicester. Bournemouth 3-1 on to win the game. It's 7-1 Leicester, and the draw 17-4. Jamie Vardy wrote the script himself, it would appear, last weekend. I wonder whether Danny's going to finish off with an away goal to celebrate his last match for Leicester.
Quite possibly. I mean, those are. I mean, Bournemouth have clearly had a much, much better season than Leicester. Mm-hmm. But threes on for me is that looks quite a bit too short to me. I'm going to put it out there right now. Leicester or draw double chance. I'm going to go for here. Leicester since have found a bit of form. 7 points, from three games. First time they've gone three games unbeaten for the entire season. Vardy, as you mentioned, has found a little bit of form, towards the end of his Leicester career. And Bournemouth have been kind of struggling at home for quite a while now. One win from the last nine home games. Haven't got a chance now of getting European football after that 3-1 loss away to City. And they lost Lewis Cook to a red card in that game. He's suspended. Alex Scott got the fractured jaw. They're talking about fitting a mask for him, but doesn't sound like he's going to play. So there's a big kind of hole in that midfield as well for Bournemouth. And their squad isn't that massive. So for this one, for me, 1-3 doesn't feel more. I wouldn't be rushing to put that in an acca. Leicester or draw by double chance looks of value.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester, as Dan says there, Tom, the performances have improved the last couple of weeks. Maybe just that pressure of already being relegated has kind of dropped off their shoulders.
Yeah, quite possibly. And I completely agree with Dan on this one. There's great value to be had in backing the Leicester double chance. And statistically, that wouldn't be a surprise for me. I mean, Bournemouth have not fallen off a cliff, have they? They beat Arsenal a few weeks ago, but particularly at home, they have struggled. They have run out of steam since beating Forest back on January the 25th. They thrashed them 5-0. They've only won one of their seven subsequent Premier League home games. It's just two wins in 11 across all competitions as well. They can't finish eighth anymore with that outside chance that would bring of qualifying for Europe. They're only battling really to finish in the top half now. So they're out of form. Leicester, as Dan mentioned, 7 points from their last three games. Looking like they've got a little bit of form. They beat Bournemouth earlier in the season by a goal to nil. They also won on their last visit to the Vitality, which was in last season's FA Cup. So for me, everything points at a Leicester positive result. And I, to be honest, I can't really believe the prices.
Mm. Let's turn attention now to the game at Craven Cottage, where Fulham play host to Manchester City. City with that big win, of course, over Bournemouth in midweek to aid their chances of Champions League football. Fulham 9-2 here to claim the 3 points. It's 4-7 Manchester City, and the draw is 100-30. City, not necessarily what we expected, I suppose, off the back of the FA Cup final, where they were disappointing, Tom, but it was a much-needed win against Bournemouth. Can they finish the season in style?
I think they can. I think they'll get the victory. I mean, they're just about there in terms of the Champions League, aren't they? But it was really important that they got that victory over Bournemouth on Tuesday night to blow out a bit of the cobwebs from not only the FA Cup final, but what has been an underwhelming season all round. And historically, they dominate Fulham when these two sides meet. They've won the last 17 meetings between the two. They're unbeaten in 23. That dates back all the way to April 2009. And you have to go back further than that for Fulham's last win at Craven Cottage, which was nearly 20 years ago, a 2-1 victory where Steve Malbronk scored a brace. But yeah, I think City will win this game. I can see Fulham scoring. Fulham struggled at home, three losses in the last four at Craven Cottage, but they tend to find the back of the net. They scored in a 3-2 defeat at City earlier in the season, and actually both teams have scored in five of the last six meetings between these two. So it could be quite an open game. Even when beating Bournemouth on Tuesday, City still conceded a late goal. So there's vulnerability at the back once more for them. So yeah, I'll be looking at City to win and both teams to score.
Yeah, Dan, I don't think everything's quite rosy in the garden, shall we say, at the Etihad at the moment. Obviously, Pep Guardiola's come out this week and said that, you know, he needs a smaller squad to work with next season, or else he might decide to move on earlier than planned. I mean, it's hardly ideal going into the final game.
No, but and I think the first thing they need to do is to focus on finishing this season, because you know, although it might seem unlikely, stranger things have happened. I mean, if City were to lose, Villa, Newcastle and Chelsea win, they are not in the Champions League next season. Now, that is that's still quite a bit of jeopardy there. And that Fulham, they can't make, you know, top eight now. But I thought that was a good result for them and a good performance. Their recent poor form to go to Brentford, who have been in, you know, playing really well and win that game 3-2. That it is their last home game. Teams often want to perform and do well in their last home game of the season as well. So I don't think this is going to be, you know, a walkover. And what I would say is, if it's 20 minutes to go and some of those other teams are winning or close to winning, and City and Fulham are drawing, I don't see City throwing lots and lots of men forward to try and win a game. And if you're backing them at odds on, that's not a wonderful position to be in, is it? So I think the draw looks a bit overpriced for me. I'm going to go with the draw.
OK, we're going to head to East Anglia next because Ipswich play host to West Ham, two teams who have really struggled for form over recent months, and Ipswich 2-1 to win this game. The Hammers 6-5 and the draw 14-5. How do you see this, Dan, going on Sunday?
I don't fancy either of these teams doing this one. I'm struggling to make a case. Ipswich, I think, will be highly motivated last home game, you know, before going back to the Championship. But there's not normally a problem with their motivation. It's just a little bit of a lack of quality, I think, in both boxes. And that's despite having, you know, the big asset of Delap up front. You know, one win, home win all season really speaks for itself, doesn't it? But then again, you look at West Ham. I mean, they've had one win, I think, now in the last 10 games. That was against the Man United team that were, you know, fully focused on the Europa League. So the game against Forest as well last week, until Bowen's goal, they offered very, very little as well in a home match. So I can't really fancy them either. I don't think either team would be that disappointed with, you know, if it finished in a draw. Mm. And that price looks, you know, quite big to me. So I'll go for the draw again.
Did make me think last week, Tom, where on earth West Ham would be without Jarrod Bowen at the moment, because he just seems to be the only player capable of, you know, not necessarily just popping up with a goal, but also just creating something as well.
Yeah, he's the only one, really, isn't he, of their creative attacking players that has consistency. I mean, you see flashes, don't you, from players like Kudus and Lucas Paqueta when he's involved. But Bowen you can rely on to, you know, get double figures for goals and maybe double figures for assists or close to that in any given season. I do fancy West Ham to win this game, not based on them ending the season strongly or looking a particularly cohesive unit under Graham Potter, but purely how bad Ipswich are. And you know, they've got criticism, Ipswich. I think they've got away with it slightly this season compared to Leicester and Southampton because there's a newness. They have the back-to-back promotions, but I've been really disappointed by them, particularly since the turn of the year. They've lost all eight of their Premier League home games in 2025, conceding 25 goals. As Dan mentioned, they've only won once at home all season. I think they're really poor and they're ending the season really, really on a low note. West Ham won the reverse fixture 4-1. And I think without needing to be that good, they'll get another victory and complete the double.
There will be certainly a party atmosphere at Anfield on Sunday, not just in the home end, but also in the away end, because it will be, shall we say, a curtain raiser for the curtain raiser, because these two teams will meet in the Charity Shield, the Community Shield even. I'm going back too far in my memory there. In terms of the Premier League winners, Liverpool up against FA Cup winners Crystal Palace. Liverpool 4-11 to win this game, 11-2 Crystal Palace and 5-1 the draw. I did see a Liverpool fan tweet this week, Tom, that maybe they should just scrap the game and all just enjoy a few tins on the in the stands, and that includes the players along the way as well. It will be a party atmosphere. Will there be goals in it as well?
I think so. I mean, it should be a really enjoyable occasion all round for everyone. Palace will take a good travelling contingent and Liverpool supporters will all be there. They want to see the trophy lift at the end of the game. The match itself is a bit of a side note, but I still think it'll be pretty entertaining and thrilling. Liverpool's last four Premier League games have featured 19 goals. I think they'll be a little bit more switched on in this match than, say, they were in the away games against Chelsea and Brighton, because it's at home. It's the final match of the season. Potentially one or two goodbyes, certainly Trent Alexander-Arnold, whether or not he is or not involved. But I think, yeah, it should be pretty entertaining. Palace don't have a great record against Liverpool. They've only won one of the last 16 meetings. And at the end of a really emotional week winning the FA Cup, then they managed to beat Wolves at homecoming at Selhurst Park on Tuesday. This might be a bit of a step too far for them in terms of getting anything from the game. But when you've got Eze in fantastic goal-scoring form, you've got likes of Mateta, Munoz, there's so many attacking players in this Palace team. They can contribute, and it could potentially be the game of the final day.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's probably only one thing to play for here, Dan, and that is Mo Salah trying to beat the record for goals and assists over the course of a Premier League season. Not quite happened for him over the last few games. He's got one more chance.
Yeah, I think every chance he could get it. I can see a better Liverpool performance here. They're going to want last home game and, you know, lifting the trophy at the end. I don't think they're going to want to be doing that off the back of a poor performance. Rested quite a lot of players for the game at Brighton in the week and didn't really look at it. You know, although Brighton had to come from behind, probably were worthy winners. But I think Liverpool, they've been at it once, I would say, since they got knocked out of the Champions League when they beat Spurs 5-1 in the game that they clinched the title in. I think they'll probably be at it here against Palace, who their midweek result against Wolves, I think you've got to remember in that Wolves actually rested a lot of big players for that game, made Palace's job quite a bit easier. I could see Palace with the threat we mentioned earlier in the show, the attacking threat they got scoring and increasing the overall goal tally. So that's why to boost the price, I'll go Liverpool to win over 3.5 goals. I think a high scoring Liverpool win likely.
Well, it might be a party atmosphere at Anfield. It's going to be a bit doom and gloom at Old Trafford, you imagine, for Manchester United's final Premier League game of the season. Off the back of that defeat in Bilbao, they play host to an Aston Villa team who might be celebrating Champions League football on the pitch at Old Trafford at the end if results go their way. United are 16-5 to claim the victory. It's 8-11 Villa and the draw is 16-5. You can't help but think, Dan, that United are just going to be so flat after what went on Wednesday night.
Yeah, incredibly. I mean, it's just a hugely demoralising experience for them, isn't it? And I just don't see how they're going to get up for this game and produce, a performance that will get them anything. And Villa are absolutely on it. I mean, it's kind of a bit under the radar, really. They've won, I think, 8 of their last 9 league games, you know, just to get them into this position where they've got a chance of Champions League football. And that's remarkable considering they've had, during that period, they've had, you know, Champions League two-legged tie against PSG, the FA Cup semi-final, they lost against Palace, but they had all these distractions and they've still, you know, finished the Premier League season, you know, incredibly well. And I can see that, I think it's just, if you could handpick a game, you know, last game of the season, you wouldn't be, you know, go far away from Man United away at this point. So, Villa to me will probably get the job done to improve get a value bet. I'll go with Ollie Watkins, who's had another fantastic season for Villa. 5 seasons in a row now. He's reached double figures. 16, I think he's got this season. Watkins has scored a first goal at 9-2 for me.
I suppose Villa are probably something that Manchester United are looking at enviously at the moment, Tom, because not only have they got a top quality manager, they've got a squad packed with, entertainment as well as quality players. They're a well-run club. They're going in the right direction. This is everything that Manchester United want to be sort of aiming towards. Ironically, for years, Villa have been looking the same way at Manchester United.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very strange. And I think, obviously, Tottenham were the big winners in the Europa League final on Wednesday. But Villa, it's probably benefiting them that Manchester United lost that game. So they will be on an even lower ebb coming into this one. I'm backing Villa to win, but the prices aren't that great. But it's hard to look at anything other than a pretty routine Aston Villa victory at Old Trafford. I mean, United 2 points from their last 8 Premier League games, and that's setting aside the disappointment of losing the Europa League final. They've lost 9 of their 18 home games in the league this season as well, including the last 2 against mediocre Wolves and West Ham sides without scoring. So, yeah, Villa on that fantastic run in the league that Dan mentioned. I mean, the only game they lost during that period was against Manchester City, and it was a 94th-minute goal from Matias Nunez that won that game. So, otherwise, Villa would be in an even better position in terms of getting into the Champions League. I mean, Villa have got to go in with the mindset they win this, they're going to get in. They've got to think that and hope that they, you know, they, the odd result or what I think is one result they need, isn't it, goes their way, and they will be in there if they win. So yeah, I think there's plenty of positivity surrounding Villa, and they should win this game.
Another team, of course, looking to qualify for the Champions League next season, and Newcastle, they're at home at St James's Park against Everton. Newcastle 3-1 on to win this game. It's 15-2 Everton, and the draw is 9-2. I mean, when you consider Newcastle's home form this season, Tom, it's a game that people will look at and think they should win. I would just say that, you know, if there's a team that you don't want to play, who've got nothing to play for, I suggest their well-organised David Moyes team is probably sort of low on the list.
Quite possibly, yeah, in normal circumstances. This game didn't matter too much to Everton, but it was the end of a run-of-the-mill season. Then they could make things difficult. But there was so much emotion last week, that final game for the men's team at Goodison Park, that victory over Southampton. I just think even a David Moyes side might take their foot off the gas slightly in this game, switch off. And it's, for me, it's a good fixture for Newcastle to be playing on the final day. Newcastle looking to steal the top five, of course. They've won their last six Premier League home games, kept clean sheets in the last three, importantly. And yeah, as I say, I mean, it's a saying I thought I'd be uttering a few times in this podcast. It's a bit after the Lord Mayor's show for Everton coming into this one. They're guaranteed to finish 13th, whatever happens in this game. And I don't really think they'll lay a glove on Newcastle. As I say, Newcastle, clean sheets in the last three at St James's Park. So to find a bit more value in the price, it's slightly odds against. I've gone with Newcastle to win to nil.
About you, Dan, are you strongly in the Newcastle camp here?
I wouldn't say strongly, but I'm on a very similar track to Tom. We're going to go with Newcastle and under 3.5 goals. I mean, we've got to mention that Isak missed the game, didn't he, last weekend against Arsenal? And, you know, it doesn't seem to be absolutely certain to be fully fit for this one. So that's a, you know, something to look out for. Everton, they're not. The prices, you're kind of tempted to get with Everton because of how resilient they've been under David Moyes. But I do agree with Tom, actually. I think that after that, the emotion of the Southampton win, and they can't change their league position to kind of get up for this game away from home. And Newcastle are going to be up for it. Players are going to bring the intensity, you know, whether or not Isak is fit enough to start. And I just think they'll probably do enough in a low-scoring game, Newcastle to win.
Up next, it's to St Mary's, where Southampton, going to finish bottom, of course, of the table, will play host to Arsenal, who looks set to finish second for the third season in a row. Southampton 17-2 to claim the victory here. It's 2-7 Arsenal, and the draw is 5-1. You would expect Arsenal to be able to finish the season with a win. Dan, 2-7, quite a short price.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and boost it. Going to go with Arsenal and over 2.5 goals. I think 3-4 was the odds when I looked. But I mean, the other side of that, we mentioned that Everton game against Southampton. I watched that game. I thought Southampton were absolutely dreadful. I got to be honest. I mean, almost every pass seemed to be sideways or backwards. There was just no intent to go and stretch Everton at all. I think they've got a massive rebuild job on their hands. I know there's a big gap between the Premier League and the Championship, but I think there needs to be a real culture change there at Southampton for them to be strong in the Championship. But on this game, the way that they played there, I think Arsenal, even though they've got, you know, top two is virtually certain, they've got an 8-goal difference gap and 3 points to Man City, so it looks like they're going to be second anyway. But I do think Mikel Arteta has been kind of keeping their performances up, I think, in the last few weeks. You know, you kind of thought they might drop off after the Champions League when they got knocked out, went to Liverpool, come from 2 goals behind, got a 2-2 draw. They're still performing, and I think they'll be way too strong for Southampton.
I think it's a fair point Dan makes about Southampton, Tom, and they've only got to look at Luton as a warning sign, basically, haven't they? Luton gave it a better fist in the Premier League. They're going to have to do big things next season to turn this around, the Championship.
Absolutely. It's a huge appointment as well, whoever comes in as the new permanent manager. I think he's going to have to gut the playing squad completely, get rid of a lot of players, move them on if he can, and start again, really, for Southampton. It's certainly, for me, not a given that they'll be anywhere near bouncing back at the first attempt next season. You know, it's difficult, and this game's going to be difficult for them as well. I agree with Dan. Arsenal are going to win this game for me. I've gone for under 3.5 goals in the Arsenal win, though. So if it's 3-0, we're both correct in this to Arsenal. So we'll root for that. And Arsenal, they've not scored that freely, particularly in the Premier League over recent times. They've only scored more than 2 goals in one of their last 13 league fixtures. That was against Ipswich, where they scored 4. So, you know, there's potential maybe that they could do something similar to Southampton. But I think the Saints will try and keep this tight, similar to what they did against Manchester City a couple of weeks ago, but without the same success of getting a goalless draw. I think Arsenal will win this comfortably, but without them really getting out of second or third gear.
I would assume that the Europa League trophy will be making an appearance at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday for their home game with Brighton. Spurs are 3-1 to claim the victory here. It's 3-4 Brighton and the draw is 100-30. Hard to know what sort of state of mind the Tottenham players, Tom, are going to be in off the back of that win in Bilbao. Is there going to be a hangover of sorts, or are they going to be buzzing and ready to go?
Maybe a little bit of both there, quite possibly. But if Tottenham had lost on Wednesday, I would have been nailed on that this was a Brighton victory for me. I probably still think Brighton should win this game. They need at least a point, don't they, to guarantee eighth, which may or may not, if other results, if Chelsea win the Conference League and things like that, might get Brighton into Europe next season. They've taken 10 points from their last 4 matches, but there is going to be a bit of a feel-good factor, a party atmosphere for Spurs in this game, and that might just rouse them. The games over recent weeks, including the Europa League final, have been quite low-scoring, low-key, cagey affairs, but I think Ange Postecoglou might let the shackles off again in this game, and Spurs will try and fight fire with fire, which should lead to an entertaining contest. We know Brighton tend to be involved in high-scoring games at the 3-2 against Liverpool, of course, the other night points to that. And there's been at least 3 goals in the last 4 meetings between these two teams. So I think this could be entertaining. So I've gone for over 3.5 goals in the match, which is odds against.
I imagine, Dan, that Ange Postecoglou will make a few changes. I mean, we saw late on the likes of Archie Gray coming on, Son came on as well. Do you think they might sort of chop and change quite a bit, Tottenham?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be kind of, you know, possibly not full reserves like it was away to Aston Villa last weekend. But I do see Brighton probably winning this game. The only thing is, you know, that, as Tom mentioned, a feel-good factor, and they're odds on Brighton. So, I mean, Heung-min Son in his post-match comments, he joked about getting the game called off. So that kind of gives you an idea of the mindset, of Spurs captain, you know. But I just think that, you know, the way to get with Brighton, I've noticed Kaoru Matoma has been coming off the bench recently. He's got 3 goals in his last 4 appearances, including that, you know, that come from behind win against Liverpool. It wouldn't be surprised, you know, with that kind of impact, if he's going to get a start here at the weekend. And he's 2-1 to score any time. He's into double figure goals for the season. Had an excellent season. So that's what I've gone with.
Okay, well, our final Premier League preview of the season is the game at Molineux as Wolves play host at Brentford. Wolves 17-10 to claim the victory here. It's 29-20 Brentford and the draw is 11-4. I could see this being quite entertaining, Dan. What do you reckon about the Wolves-Brentford clash?
Yeah, entertaining, and I fancy Wolves, actually. Wolves on the draw, no better, evens. Pereira made a hell of a lot of changes for that game I mentioned at Palace. And Manetzi, João Gomes, Cunha, Semedo, they were among the players that were benched. So I think he's clearly targeting the home game this week as the one to go for. And you, these two have been quite similar form if you look over the last couple of months. Both finished the season really, really well. Brentford had the setback of losing at home to Fulham last week. That's kind of put them in a tough situation now in terms of trying to finish eighth. They've still got an outside chance, but I just think that that Wolves with home advantage and those big players coming back, they're the bet for me. Wolves draw, no bet.
If you're to believe transfer rumours, Tom, it could be the last game for some players for either of these two teams. Like Cunha and Waymo and Visser have been linked with other teams. Are we going to finish on a high with an entertaining game?
I think so. This has all the makings of being a really open contest. Brentford won the reverse meeting 5-3. it would be a push to get something similar again, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out. You're mentioning those attacking players. Certainly Cunha looks like he'll be leaving Wolves at the end of the season, so I think he'll want to go out of a bang and get on the score sheet. And likewise, you've got Vissa, you've got Mbeumo, Sharda's been in great form as well, all three of those Brentford players well into double figures in terms of goals for the season. I think it will be open and entertaining. Only the top four heading into the weekend have scored more goals than Brentford this season, whilst only the bottom three have conceded more than Wolves. So, yeah, I think it'll be a wide open contest. I'm not confident picking a winner from the game as such. I've gone for over 3.5 goals again.
Okay, well, that is the Premier League wrapped up for the final weekend of the season. Next up, it's to Wembley for a look at the EFL playoff finals.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, all the playoff finals, firstly to tell you, will kick off at 1 minute past the hour as part of the EFL's Every Minute Matters campaign. That's to encourage more people to learn CPR and ultimately save even more lives. So it means, firstly, that the Championship playoff final on Saturday will kick off at 1 minute past three as Sheffield United take on Sunderland. And the 90-minute prices are Sheffield United 11-8 to claim the victory, Sunderland 23-10. And the draw is 2-1. Dan, we'll start with you with the big one in the Championship. Ultimately, you know, you would say that Sheffield United have probably been the better of the two sides across the season. The fact that we've had some of these random results in finals, I say random, but, you know, maybe the sort of lesser fancy teams winning, I just wonder whether we might get that again.
Yeah, you've got to judge every individual game, haven't you, on its merits. I fancy Sheffield United at the start of the playoffs. I haven't seen anything in the semi-finals to change my mind. I'm going to go with... I think they're probably overpriced to win in normal time, but I'm going to play it a little bit safer and go for Sheffield United to be promoted. I mean, 14-point gap between them over the course of the season. Effectively, that was 16 points because Sheffield United had 2 points deducted. You know, the confidence from beating Bristol City 3-0 home and away. Sunderland lost their last five games of the league season. I know they've bounced back and got past Coventry, but I watched both legs. They didn't impress me over the two legs, I've got to say. They, you know, played with a very low defensive block, sort of profited from a bad error, a back pass from Coventry in the first leg and nicked the win there. Second leg, Coventry kind of dominated again and until really the last 15 minutes of extra time when Coventry seemed to tire. But a boost for Sunderland, I would say. Romain Mundell came off the bench in that game. He's been out injured. He'll give him a bit more of an impetus going forward. But I just don't think that low block's going to work against Sheffield United, who can win games in different ways. Coventry are possession based and they look to play through teams. Sheffield United have got a bit more. You've got Kiefer Moore out front, a target they can hit, you know, for deeper balls, and they know different ways to win games of football for me, Sheffield United, and I think they'll get the job done.
It was one win each in the league this season. Sheffield United with a late winner at Bramall Lane. I was actually at the Stadium of Light on New Year's Day for Sunderland 2, Sheffield United 1. And, you know, across the board, probably those two games very evenly matched. But as Dan says, Sheffield United over the season, Tom, you'd say a bit more quality about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with Dan. I'm going all in on Sheffield United to win in the 90 minutes because I think the price is really... really tempting there. Usually, and it'll probably prove the case again in this game, but it tends to be tight, the Championship final. I always find it really hard to call, but going into this one, I do just think there's a gap between the two teams. Sheffield United 14 points better off than Sunderland come the end of the regular season, and they've really got themselves together again, Chris Wilder and his team, after that blip in April, which ultimately proved costly in securing automatic promotion. But they were comprehensively better than Bristol City across both playoff semi-finals. And as Dan mentioned, Sunderland, bar 15 minutes at the end of extra time at the Stadium of Light, really struggled against Coventry, just got over the line. And I think Sheffield United will have too much quality, particularly when you look at the strength in depth. I think Sheffield United's bench, the options they have, the rotation they can bring in, is just more than what Sunderland can offer. So I think Sheffield United will win this game.
Okay, we're going to move on to League One now, and that playoff final is on Sunday at 1 minute past one, and it's an all-London affair as Charlton take on Leighton Orient. As far as the prices are concerned for this clash, well, Charlton are 6-5 to claim the victory in 90 minutes. It's 12-5 Leighton Orient and 11-5 the draw. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. I would suggest two evenly matched teams going into this, and a hard one to call.
Yeah, two teams that have been in fantastic form as well. Charlton, 3 defeats in 24. Leighton Orient, unbeaten in 9. Both hard-fought semi-finals they had to come through to reach this stage. A late goal from Matty Godden getting Charlton through against Wickham, and Leighton Orient needing extra time and penalties to see off Stockport. It is a hard game to call, but I'm just leaning towards Charlton for me to get the promotion. They won both league meetings between the two sides across the regular campaign. Only just 1-0 and 2-1. And Leighton Orient, for what it's worth, did win an EFL trophy meeting between the two sides. But I think Charlton, Nathan Jones, will just get enough out of his side to grind out the victory. And I think Charlton might be able to get the job done inside the 90 minutes. This is a really tight one to call. I mean, I heavily fancy Sheffield United in the Championship one, but this for me will be really tight and tense, but I'm leaning towards Charlton.
What did you make of their performances in the semi-finals, Dan, in terms of going into this one?
Well, I thought by far the higher quality football on display was in the semi-final between Orient and Stockport. I watched both those games. They were both excellent matches. I mean, either team, you know, could have got through it. Stockport been in unbelievable form, you know, towards the end of the season. But Orient matched them, over both matches, and they were absolutely nerveless in the shootout as well. It may even come to that in the final. I thought at the home end there at Edgeley Park, to win that shootout the way they did, 4-1, and the goalkeeper come up trumps. He's a great shot stopper on loan from Spurs, Keeley as well. So I do think, you know, in a shootout, they'll have a good chance. I wouldn't even be surprised if they did it before then. I just think they're overpriced, Orient, for me to, that's what I'm going to go with, Orient to be promoted. They've been playing with jeopardy and doing it well for quite a while. They had to win the last 6 games of the regular season to just finish above Reading in the race for 6th place. So they've been they're battle hardened, if you like. That ding dong semi, as I mentioned, against Stockport, they came through it. Charlton semi against Wickham, two really, really dour matches, and they've kind of got it done against the Wickham team that have been out of sorts for a while. Charlton's form has to be said. I think they've lost 2 of the last 17. So you've got to say Charlton have been really strong, towards the last few months of the season. But I don't think they've got the attacking firepower that Orient have got. Charlie Kelman, top scorer in the division. Jamie Donnelly, fantastic assister and can score great goals. Ollie O'Neill, recently back from injury, got that early goal in the second leg at Stockport. I just think they've got a bit more going forward, playing a more attractive football, and maybe on that Wembley pitch, they'll just have the edge.
Okay, well, one more game left to look forward to, and it's the League Two playoff final, which takes place on Bank Holiday Monday. 1 minute past 3 again, the kickoff for Wimbledon against Walsall. The Dons are 13-8 to come out on top in 90 minutes. It's 19-10 Walsall, and the draw is 19-10. It would be an incredible story, Dan, if Walsall were to do it through the playoffs, having come so close, for automatic promotion. Are they going to do it, or are they going to fall short?
No, I think they might fall short. I still think they've done well, bounced back to get past Chesterfield, but I still think there's going to be scars. I mean, one win in 15, the last 15 league games of the season, they were completely, almost looked a shoo-in for the title, let alone going up automatic. And I still think that's going to be a bit on their minds here. Wimbledon have been more been kind of trajectory. They've been aiming for top three, but more been heading for the playoffs for a large part of the season. Their defence is just rock solid, as we saw in the semi-finals against Notts County, 1-0 win at Meadow Lane, an even more comfortable 1-0 win in the second leg when they could have probably won by more goals. I can see a tight game, but I think Wimbledon's kind of resilience that they got defensively, we'll see them through. I think they might only need one goal to win it, Wimbledon.
And they got a brilliant goal, the winner against Notts County, I have to say, in the second leg. And also, Walsall impressed towards the end of the game. Albert Adoma could be a player who could make an impact late on off the bench, Tom. But are you the same thought as Dan? Are Walsall going to fall short here?
Yeah, very similar. And I feel bad because I've gone against Walsall just about all the time over recent weeks. And they proved me wrong in the semi-final. Did really well to get past what was an in-form Chesterfield team, but there's so much defensive resilience and nous for me about Wimbledon coming into this. I think they will have enough to get through, and I'm trying to find a bit of value in this bet. I've gone for the Wimbledon correct score, 1-0 for this. So it might not be a classic game, but that will suit Wimbledon's strong defensive record, as Dan mentioned. They won both of the playoff semi-finals against Notts County 1-0. They won their final match of the regular season by a goal to nil against Grimsby to ensure a top seven place. And actually 10 times this season, 8 in the regular season in the two playoff games, they've won 1-0. So the masters are grinding that out. And Walsall, I know we go back to it, don't we? But they've never really recovered from losing Nathan Lowe in January. The goals, well, they were still finished as League Two's top scorers. They did dry up significantly over the second half of the campaign. So yeah, for me, Wimbledon will edge this one by a goal to nil and be heading back towards League One.
Okay, well, I'm sure it will be dramatic either way across all three of the EFL playoff finals, something to look forward to for football fans over the bank holiday weekend. We're going to go now to the guys' best bets for this week, and we'll start off with the Bet Builder. And Tom, I think we're looking at the big game, are we, in terms of the Premier League on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's where certainly most neutrals' eyes will be on Sunday, won't they, at the City Ground, Nottingham Forest against Chelsea. As I mentioned earlier on, the first part of my Bet Builder is going to be looking at the unders. I've gone for under 3 goals. Forest not scoring many at home, 4 in their last 6 Premier League home games, and Chelsea failed to score in 3 of their last 4 away in the league, and in general, recently not been great travellers. So, yeah, I think a low-scoring game, first of all, to start off the Bet Builder. My second selection is looking at Nottingham Forest fullback Nico Williams to have one or more shots in the game. He's had 37 in the Premier League this season, and only 4 players in the Forest squad have had more. Chris Wood, who's been scoring plenty of goals, Anthony Elanga, Morgan Gibbs-White and Elliot Anderson. So as a right-back come left-back, Williams is doing pretty well and certainly shows he fancies having shots towards goal. He had 4 as well in one match against Crystal Palace in that 1-1 draw recently. And the third part of the Bet Builder, again, I'm kind of looking at a Forest player. I've gone with Matt Sells to be booked. I'm hedging my bets that Forest might be doing enough to get the victory in the game. And Sells, who's been booked 4 times this season in the league, twice in his last 5 appearances, he might just look to run down the clock a little bit. If it's 1-0 Forest, we're into injury time, he's going to take his time to take the odd goal kick or free kick, and that might feel the wrath of the referee. It's a slightly left-field choice to add to the Bet Builder, but if all three of those legs come in, then it's around about 16-1.
Okay, well, that's Tom's Bet Builder. We're going to turn to Dan now for a couple of prop shop options. What's the first of these then, Dan?
Yeah, it involves the same game. I'm going to go with Chris Wood to score any time against Chelsea. Scored in the 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge earlier in the season. Got 20 of Forest's 58 goals this season. Excellent, as we all know, in the air. And you've got Chelsea team. I looked at their set-piece goals conceded. They've conceded 10 set-piece goals, which is the second highest among the top 9 teams in the Premier League. When you watch Chelsea, they don't come across a team that have a dominant, particularly dominant centre back, and you know, Wood, as I say, scored at Stamford Bridge. I think he could score again in this one. For the second part of the prop shot, going to go with Flynn Downs to be carded in the Southampton's match against Arsenal. He caught my eye against Everton as one of the few Southampton players that kind of put a shift in. You know, he's trying to put some tackles in. He's had 12. Yellow cards this season in just 26 appearances. I mean, that is some going. Certainly one of the players, I think, but he does put a shift in. He's one of their more consistent players, and I think player maybe Southampton will look to keep. But here, he's going to have his work cut out, isn't it? You know, trying to keep tabs on that Arsenal midfield. So price for a card, I think, is about 12 to 5, given his stats this season. Looks big to me.
Okay, we're going to conclude with the best bets for the weekend, starting with the assist treble. And Tom, we'll start with your tip first.
Yeah, I can't look past Sheffield United in the playoff final to win in 90 minutes against Sunderland. As I mentioned earlier on, for me, this is quite not an easy one to pick because it can go any way, but I'm really confident that Sheffield United will win this game, which you can't always say heading into a playoff final, particularly a championship one. But the momentum they built up in the semi-finals against Bristol City compared to Sunderland, who limped past Coventry and, as Dan mentioned earlier on, lost their final five games of the regular season. I just think Sheffield United will have too much across the 90 minutes.
And Dan, what's your pick for the assist treble?
I think Villa to win at Manchester United. A game Villa is a kind of a must win for them. As I mentioned earlier, you couldn't really have handpicked a much better fixture. Villa to win.
And I'm going for both teams to score in the game between Wolves and Brentford. I said earlier on, I could see it being entertaining. 21 goals in the last five Brentford games. Wolves have scored in six of their last seven matches at Molineux. And both teams to score in this fixture has come in four of the last five meetings. And as I say, with both teams wanting to finish the season on a high, I can see both being on the score sheet in that game at Molineux. So just to remind you of the assist treble this week, it's Sheffield United to win in 90 minutes, Aston Villa to beat Manchester United, and Wolves against Brentford, both teams to score. We're going to conclude this week's show then with the naps from Dan and Tom. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, Forest to beat, you know, Chelsea in that massive game at the City Ground. I just think they kind of got back on it in that game at West Ham last weekend. And yeah, I think home advantage could be massive here, Forest to win the game.
And you, Tom, what's your nap?
I've gone with City to beat Fulham and both teams to score. City always beat Fulham, 17 wins in a row against the Cottagers, but still not for me at their best, still liable to concede goals, and Fulham are a side, particularly at Craven Cottage, that tend to find the back of the net.
Well, a big thanks to both Tom and Dan for all their input this week and throughout the season, of course, as well. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. If you like your golf, a weekly reminder that the sweet spot is with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. And it might be the end of the domestic season, but we'll be back to look forward to next weekend's Champions League final, as well as coming up shortly, a Club World Cup preview as well, ahead of the inaugural tournament. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.